Planning Commission meeting to order. On our virtual meeting call tonight, we have myself, Chairman Todd Hildebrand, Planning Commissioners Bob Jordan, Miles Williams, and Kurt Siebenhauer. Also with us, our County Planner Megan Nelms and our new recorder Clark Milinkovich.
Hello.
Also, we have Tom Sivens on the line. Is there anyone else on the call that has not been identified? Okay, moving along. The county has a few administrative items to take care of before our public hearings. First order of business is to approve the meeting minutes from our November 21st, 2019 meeting. Did everyone have a chance to review them?
Yeah.
Are there any changes, or can I get a motion to approve the minutes?
Well, I move to approve the minutes from the November 21st, 2019 meeting as submitted.
I second.
We have a motion from Commissioner Siebenhauer to approve the minutes as submitted, seconded by Commissioner Jordan. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Our only case tonight is case number 20.01COZ, a zoning request for the land for the proposed Piper Acres subdivision. Megan, could you please present the case?
Yes. Good evening, Planning Commissioners. Thanks for joining us on the virtual meeting. So your case tonight is, as we said, case number 20.01COZ, the zoning request for the proposed Piper Acres subdivision. The applicant is Tom Sivin with TLC Developments. And his agent is Tony McDonald with KLJ Engineering. And the applicant is proposing to subdivide approximately 364 acres into 100 residential lots. Preliminary plat has been submitted and was reviewed by the Planning Commission in May of 2019. Tonight we're looking at the zoning request, which is to RS Residential Suburban. The property is located south of Gillette on the west side of Highway 50, adjacent to and connecting to Red Hills Subdivision and Fox Ridge Subdivision, and the land is currently unzoned. There are no zoning considerations. The request is in conformance with the comprehensive plan, and our 2013 future land use map designates this area as residential and rural general. The property shall be developed in conformance with RS Residential Suburban Zoning District regulations, and I would note that the RS district is the most restrictive zoning district that we have in the county. It does not allow manufactured homes, only stick-built or factory-built.
Disaster loan application.
Constructed to the IRC International Residential Building Code. And with that, staff recommends approval of the zoning request. And I can answer any questions, and Mr. Yes. Sivin is on the call as well.
Thank you, Megan. Did you receive any comments on this case?
We did not. We provided notice, excuse me, again, to all surrounding property owners as required by statute. We published notice in the newspaper, and we requested that any comments be returned by today at 3 p.m., and I did not receive any written comments or phone calls.
Okay.
What's RS call for?
In what terms of...
What's the zoning? What's the limits to the zoning RS?
No manufactured homes. Stick built only.
Okay.
Right. Or pre-made to the, right, you know, like you said.
Factory built.
You know, a factory built mod that's pre-made and but meets the International Building Code.
Would be allowed.
Okay.
Any other comments or questions from the board?
Yeah, I have a couple of questions. This is Bob. On this plat that you have set up, between the pipeline you got running through the ground and the surface drainage you have, you got a number of lots here on 3.5 acres that might be awful challenging to put a septic system in and relocate a home at the same time. The deck's got pipelines and drainage through the same lot on the 3.5 acres. It's going to be a challenge. Particularly when the pipeline crosses the access to property. If you got to run any utilities or anything like that, they're going to have to do something about that. And if it happens to run across a drainage, you're going to have to position your drain, your septic system. That can limit where you can put your property, put your rest of your property set up.
I guess, Commissioner Jordan, I can respond initially to that, and perhaps Mr. Sivan could add his response. We don't require it at preliminary plat, but once we start to get into the phasing and the final plats for those phases, as we review those, if there are lots that we perceive that may have some restrictions because of topography, drainage, or other easements, will require a site plan for those lots showing buildable area for a home, septic replacement leach field area, and a shop. So that is something that we review and will take into consideration when we start getting those final plats. If there's any lots that look questionable, will require a site plan before the plat is approved.
And what if the site plan can't be approved or the site plan can't be built?
Then,
well, I mean, yeah, and so I can weigh in a little bit here, too. So normally if we don't have an acre of ground that's less than 10% slope and is out of any drainage easements or easements that would restrict development, we ask for a site plan, like Megan's saying. And then if that doesn't work, then that lot would have to be, you know, reconfigured. It wouldn't, you know, that site plan, I mean, it would be contingent on that site plan showing that it would be feasible to build a house, a shop, a septic system with a replacement leach field. And so that is a qualification of that lot to be acceptable, is that it be shown. And we were looking at those. There's a couple that get a little bit steep there, and so there may be a couple. I know that County Surveyor and I were looking at these and we're talking about it with Megan. There may be a few that we ask for a site plan.
And I think Mr. Sivan could answer this. I know he has also had discussions about potential overlot grading on some of the lots that might have some topography issues.
Well, I think that's part of the deal. You know, we've got to give the folks a buildable site. As far as the pipelines, those are essentially all abandoned. The reason they're showing up on the map is they're showing up on title, and I've been scrounging far and wide trying to find somebody to abandon those for me, and I've actually found relatives of the companies that have gone out of business, and it's like, well, yeah, okay, you know, if you call my cousin over there, maybe they can sign something for you. All this stuff has been vacated, plugged, abandoned, and this is just all, for all practical purposes, is not there. Other than those are lines that are showing up on the ground. The drainages that are showing up on the map are the existing natural drainages. Tony felt that he should show them as they are on the map, and obviously whatever contouring that we need to do, that's part of the engineering process.
So those pipelines are inactive. They're not just they're not abandoned because you haven't got the paperwork saying they're abandoned. Those are steel lines, is that correct?
I believe most of them, yes.
Okay. If they hadn't been deemed inactive, somebody could always come along and put them back in operation. I doubt they will because it is methane, but you know what? I've seen stranger things happen.
Oh, of course. There's always a chance something weird's going to happen, but I've had discussions with several attorneys about this, and basically all of the easements have been extinguished by operation of law because the companies have gone out of business, and it does not automatically pass on to the new person that bought them out. The easements stay with the land. and unless they had been specifically deeded to any new or subsequent owners, I think it was Barrett Properties or Barrett Development or whatever they call themselves. They've gone through at least half a dozen iterations, and the companies have bounced all over the country and internationally, and I was able to track down one relative, and he basically said, yeah, none of that stuff exists. So it's a matter of finding the proper paperwork, and I've got an attorney's assistance on that, that if I cannot find somebody to just sign off on it, then there are legal avenues to force it to happen.
Right.
But for all practical purposes, none of that stuff really exists.
Yeah, I'm just curious if it's steel or plastic, what depth it actually is. That's just my curiosity.
Yes, that was kind of, we had filled out the initial application for
okay. Any other questions?
I was wondering if we could get an update.
If there's no other questions or comments, I would entertain a motion.
Well, I'll move to approve case number 20.01COZ, zoning request for the proposed Piper Acres subdivision to zone 364 acres from unzoned to RS, residential suburban.
I second the motion.
We have a motion to approve case number 20.01COZ, zoning request for the proposed Piper Acres subdivision to zone 364 acres from unzoned to residential suburban.
Okay.
By Commissioner Siebenhauer, seconded by Commissioner Jordan. Clark, could you please poll the commission?
Yes, so the motion before you right now, I'll make sure we're off mute, is to zone 364 acres from unzoned to residential suburban for the Piper Acres subdivision, zoning case number 20.01COZ. Commissioner Siebernaller?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Commissioner Williams?
Yes.
Commissioner Jordan?
Yes.
We did it on the 8th.
And Chairman Hildebrand?
Yes.
Okay, the motion carries.
Okay.
Okay, that's all the business we have. Mr. Sivens, I'd have a couple of comments before we close the meeting. I read through your preliminary plat information here, and there appears to be a lot of issues that we discussed when you brought this before that haven't really made any progress. I also noted that you and your agent had an extensive paragraph indicating you don't believe that the traffic flow will go through Red Hills.
We
talked at length about that. I would like to see you pursue some kind of an agreement with Red Hills, because while you and your agent may not think the cars are going to use their roads, they are.
Okay.
And in order for me to be in favor of your division, I'm going to have to see something that you have made progress with.
Okay. So then with the reports that...
Well, they're developing a traffic study, and I'm not sure, not sure how I'm going to address that.
I mean,
okay. Well, I guess we can discuss that at length then. When you bring the final plat in, their roads are not in good shape and adding to the traffic to that without adding some assistance in maintaining their roads okay. is not in their best interest.
Okay. Well, it was Tony that wrote the a couple of paragraphs in there about the distance, and you know, just looking at a couple of the maps put together, like on page 4 of your packet that was put together, the distance is so much greater with several turns and stop signs. I really don't see where that's going to happening. I see that, you know, I think a lot of their complaints come from the fact that people drive through Stone Place and to get out to the north, and so I can see their concerns. I just really don't see it happening that people would deliberately add that much distance and that much up and down and stop signs and stuff where they can have such easy access directly to the highway, because they're going to wind up on the highway anyway.
The one differential is if they take the route through Red Hills, that's a paved road. When your subdivision, the last I knew, was going to be gravel.
You know, perhaps that's true for the couple of very northernmost lots that are going to be directly adjacent to Red Hills. Otherwise, for probably three quarters or more of the subdivision, their shortest distance, they will have to drive as much gravel road to get to Red Hills as they will to get to the highway. So I honestly don't see why they would do that.
Okay. Well, from
the intersection on down in the middle of the first street there, of Piper Boulevard.
Okay.
It kind of splits it down the middle, and they would have to drive the same amount of gravel road to add a couple of miles of as you say, somewhat marginal roads, paved roads in Red Hills to get to the same point. So it just, I don't know honestly why anyone would do that.
Right. Okay.
I understand the concerns, and I understand the history of Red Hills, but I don't see why anybody would be doing that.
So,
okay. Thank you.
Ms. Bivens.
Okay.
I live on that road, Highway 50.
Uh-huh.
I can tell you, don't put approach in even better than Red Hills. You're going to create a problem on that highway. That's a lot of hills in there, a lot of traffic. I live about 3 miles past, and I'm telling you, it's so dangerous. And people use the other access to Red Hills only because they do it now.
Well, the highway department has looked at it, and they don't seem to have an issue with it. There's plenty of line of sight. I don't remember the exact number to the top of the hill, but it's a long way. And the highway department is going to be lowering the speed limit on that part of the highway anyway. That's their plan. It's in the works.
Okay.
Because it's they feel it's excessive over there, and it creates a safety issue.
Okay.
So
that traffic for the bumper, and they really don't care if you got traffic, you got the speed limit lowered or not. What Mr. Hildebrand was talking about is these people find the easiest way out, there's less danger for them. They do it now.
Okay.
They would do it on that.
I live on that highway.
The people who use Red Hills,
uh-huh.
The people who use the other come across from the road that goes out to Hidden Valley, they're always cutting across there because it's easier for them. In my mind, it's not, but they do it.
And I think that's where a lot of the concern comes from, is from the folks from Stonegate driving through there. But, you know, they have a reason to. It's a better connection to Highway 50. I will provide a good connection to Highway 50.
We appreciate that.
Side distance
you too. Thank you. Bye-bye.
The highway department doesn't have a problem with it.
Well, of course they don't.
I'm sorry, somebody's got a live mic over there, and I'm really having trouble hearing here.
Yeah, Todd, I think we can hear your wife talking on the phone in the background.
Oh, okay, sorry.
So maybe that's it.
Are you thinking about an approach as you come in, like they have at Red Hills, where you can find a soft landing?
We're going to have to.
Yeah, you're going to have to. Quite a bit.
You'll have to have a deceleration lane and a wide enough portion so that folks can get back on the highway and go.
So
the highway department's working on that. I'm sorry?
That won't happen, but that's fine.
I missed part of this deal. Does Red Hills not want the traffic through there? Is that the problem?
We've had comments from some of the landowners in Red Hills worried about traffic going through from Piper Acres through Red Hills and out. I was going to send a letter to Red Hills and possibly Stonegate that they can make a request to Public Works. We have some summer interns that we have do small jobs, and if Stonegate or Red Hills is interested in making a request for traffic counts, if they made that request, we may entertain that. So,
you know, when they built Red Hills, I remember Stonegate had a problem with it, and they had to have another access, and there was a legal access there. I don't think that ought to be an issue. I mean, it's a publicly maintained street, isn't it?
It's a public street maintained by the homeowners that live there, right? Not by the county. What about the
roads through Stonegate?
We pay for the maintenance of those. That's the concern, Miles, is the fact that you're increasing traffic, increasing the wear and tear on the roads, but you're not contributing to the maintenance of the roads.
Right. All right.
I did an informal traffic study in front of my house the first week of January, which is a slow time. We had 25 cars a day average go by my house. Now there's only three houses past me on Stone Place Avenue. That's a lot of traffic, and those 25 cars, my camera didn't pick my car up except twice. That's a lot of traffic for three houses.
I'll be sending letters to the Red Hills HOA and Stonegate District about if they want to make a request. We're also looking at making amendments to Chapter 5, which is district support grants, and possibly including language that would allow for a higher percentage from the district support grant fund to subdivisions for road projects when their district has a new subdivision or a new development connect to them. Red Hills isn't an improvement service district right now, so they're not eligible for support grants, but that's another avenue we're looking at in terms of providing public support to subdivisions to maintain their infrastructure. So,
okay. I got a question, Mr. Susan. What speed was the state plan on dropping that access down to? Do you know?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the full question. What speed is what?
What were they going to drop the speed down on 50 there, Tom? Wasn't it 55 all the way past?
Well, they're thinking 55 or 60. You know, this is at the discussion stage with them. There's been nothing officially set in stone. So that was like, yeah, we need to lower it, and we've been talking about it. And you know, I don't think there's been anything formally done.
Yeah, because the only concern I got is that comes out of the corner of your development. And there's not much room there to do anything special if you want to. And it's, I mean, that traffic, when it's moving, I could see a school of two or three school buses sitting here and four or five people behind it. And they're going to find their way around, because that is not a nice, friendly access. You put all those lots out there and people all leaving at 7, 8 o'clock in the morning, they're either going to come out Lewis Road, they're going to come out that particular access, or they're going to come out Red Hills. You can just about bank that the upper third is going to go out Red Hills, to the south third is going to go out Lewis, rest that way. So to pretend that they all go out one area and everything's going to be cool, I know this road, and this is not. This is when this thing's going, it is definitely, and you know, it's a busy road.
Sure.
That's a guarantee.
I think they're talking about lowering the speed limit past Lewis Road.
Probably have to lower it down.
Back up to 70 past there.
That's all I got.
So.
I just wish that there was more access where you could, you know, where you could build something that'll soft land those people and they start pulling off. And it seems like it's bad right up to you get about to Bell Road. Just everybody's doing their own thing and it's not very fun.
Well, Commissioner Jordan, I believe, you know, the YDOT hasn't approved Mr. Sivens' approach yet, but it's highly likely that they'll require the same as Red Hills, and there will be at least a decel lane there to turn right into Piper Acres.
Okay, I hope
we're pretty much counting on it. Yeah.
It's probably 95% there will be a decel lane for the right turn into Piper Acres.
When would that be built?
I'd envision it just like Red Hills turn. If you can picture Red Hills, and then they have the right hand decel lane for people to turn into Red Hills.
I know. My question was when?
Prior to using, well, at 30 lots. I don't know. That's probably something that will come from YDOT with the approved approach permit. And we've told Mr. Sivens that he needs to have that approach permit approved when he makes submittal for his first phase of the final plat.
Good. I hope there's a schedule with it.
All right.
Anything else?
No. Right now, we don't have any cases scheduled for next month. So hopefully, excuse me, the next time we have a meeting, we'll all get to see each other in person.
So we no new or old business.
No.
Thank you, Megan. With no further items on the agenda, I adjourn the meeting.